How you doing, everybody? My name is Gal Shalev. I'm here with Roy. This gentleman, I have to say, some of you must have heard about him. Some of you must have seen it on the news. It's been circulating around all over the internet. Somebody that I have to say, I guess I'm very proud of, because he's probably one of the most important, maybe having the most important position for what he's doing. And we don't see this very often. Roy is a judge, or at least he was a judge until he got suspended in Portugal, in the south of Portugal, right now living in Aveiro, which is in the north. And what he's doing, and you can correct me, Rio, if I'm wrong, he's suing the government, specifically the president or prime minister of Portugal, together with the health ministry for crimes against humanity.
Yes.
So we have an interesting combination here where you're very legally literate, meaning that you know the legal basis of everything that you're talking about. You were a criminal judge. You were a criminal judge from 2005 until some time where you asked to go back to being a lawyer, and then you asked to go back to being a judge. So you had this back and forth, but you've probably been a lawyer most of your life, very proficient with law. And somehow someone in your position, which we don't see often, you're noticing and realizing that we are going through something that's akin to crimes against humanity. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, I've been during my life, I've been, like you said, I've been back and forth between to be a lawyer and a judge. And right now I am a judge. I'm not a lawyer, despite I am suspended. And yes, I filed a criminal charge against against the president, the prime minister, the staff government, the other ministers, a bunch of people, also doctors and the nurses that are intervening in the injection process for crimes against humanity, because these injections of this substance are not free, as we are told. We are being coerced to accept that, because it's conditioned for life to go back to normal as it used to be, which is a lie. They don't have any intention to return us back the life that we had before. But people are being coerced to accept something that is actually killing us. At least is something that's experimental, and in my view, is going to bring a lots of tragic events, a lots of illnesses and diseases. And most of all, I think it's going to bring us a huge, very serious problem with infertility for the years to come.
So I wanna take what you said and allow me to tear it apart a little bit into a couple of pieces, because you said a couple of things. One, you're talking about a medical procedure that might not be beneficial and it might be even harmful to humanity. That's one, that's medical. And then on the other hand, you said something that's in regards to the law, right? Like, coercing people to go through a medical experiment is unlawful. And that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I would like to play devil's advocate, if you allow me. if this experiment, right, if this injection was beneficial and it was safe, do you still think it would have been wrong to make people get it in order to get their life back together?
The thing is that if this would be beneficial and it would be safe, people would run to get it without any condition. If we would have a pandemic, a really deadly pandemic, people would stay at home without any measurements. That's the point. We are under a fabricated pandemic. I am not denying the virus because I don't have the knowledge, scientific knowledge, to discuss that on that level. What I know is that there was already a SARS-CoV before. If it was one or two or three or four, that doesn't matter. We are living with virus. Humanity is living with virus. It's like that. It's our nature. It's our, as human, as creatures, as living beings, is to live with virus, to adapt. It's not the only virus. If today, if I have a really dangerous disease like tuberculosis and I go to a restaurant, no one is going to ask me anything because I have a mask for COVID, for instance. But I'm going to spread a very dangerous disease for everybody there because I'm going to sneeze or they're going to touch things. So this is under our eyes. Unfortunately, only a few of us are able to see what is going on. But going back to your question, yeah, if it would be, at least in Portugal, we don't have right now any vaccine. If I can call, I call vaccines the what we had before. I don't call vaccines what we are having now, but we don't have any mandatory vaccine. So if it would be a really dangerous disease, a really dangerous thing, that question would be easy to ask to answer because people would run for it. Like a vaccine against HIV or vaccine hepatitis or.
So and I like to break things apart because it's not every day I get to sit with, have the honor to sit with somebody in a position such as a judge. I would love to have these conversations with more judges. I don't think that's very possible for somebody like me. So I'm first of all, I'm very humbled and thank you for doing this.
Thank you for inviting me.
Because somebody who's a judge, in my perspective, is somebody who has immense amount of knowledge in regards to the law, especially when it comes to criminal law that you were practicing. But at the same time, you have a lot of knowledge about how things work behind the scenes, meaning that, maybe not everything is perfect. Maybe not everything really goes, as the law should go. And you've probably lived with that as a lawyer and as a judge, seeing that the law doesn't always protect the people it's supposed to protect, and it doesn't always punish the people that it's supposed to punish. So taking that into account and knowing that you have massive amount of experience, do you think that the problem that we're facing, and I'm asking a very big question, which later on I think we can get into a little bit more in detail, do you think that this organization called the judicial process, right, this place that's called the law, do you think this is going to solve the immense problem that humanity is facing at the moment? I'm not saying is there going to be, like a Nuremberg 2.0 when everybody wakes up. I'm talking about right now to stop what's happening. Do you think that's going to come through the courts, or do you think it would have to come through other means?
I think it would have to come through other means, but we cannot drop any available way that we have. We cannot, in the future, we cannot look back and say Well,
we didn't try.
If I would have done try this, if I'd have tried that,
right?
I am very skeptic about even about what it's this criminal lawsuit is a serious thing that, and I did it in a very seriously way, and I am still following it. I'm updating it. It's a work in progress. But I know the limitations of our system. I know that our system was built to protect the ones that are in power. I am not naive about that. But I have to show people actually that, look,
we tried.
We tried. This is working or not working. But yeah.
So this must be, first of all, a very expensive endeavor that you're taking. It must be extremely expensive to try and both sue the government as a body and the president as an individual and maybe the health ministry. So that must be a very expensive. I guess people are citizens that believe in your cause are helping you out. I hope, or are you doing like?
No, I'm not. I'm not asking for any help. It's not so expensive that then probably it would be people would think. What I did is I filed a criminal charge that is triggering, starting an investigation from the prosecutors. So I asked them, look, we have this. A petition with what I felt, what I thought it was necessary to put there and the means of proof. And they have to start the investigation like now. It's the state. The funny thing is the state that is also, that has now start investigating the state. It's something that if I'm not pushing every day with new proof, with new facts, they are going just to push it away to a corner or to a drawer. And it's going to stay there. So it's a work that I have to develop every day.
So other than, the massive support that you get from, you know, people like myself within Portugal, within the citizens of Portugal, do you feel that you have any, respecting what you're doing, pushing you, you know, to do this within your community, the lawyer community, the judge community, the law community, you know, intellectuals? I mean, this must have blown up to be a huge story. A judge slash lawyer suing the president for crimes against humanity. This must be massive. I'm imagining that the news is probably calling you a conspiracy theorist and trying to belittle you. But I believe that, you know, are there people that are supporting you that are in positions like yourself? Or are they all like, man, you're crazy. You shouldn't be doing
that. Yes. On one hand, the media are not talking about this. They just
hiding it.
They're hiding it, so it's not on the mainstream. But there are lots of people that are waking already, and yes, they support me. Lots of people they cannot support me publicly because of their current positions, but. I get that support by messages and emails, and some of them are supporting the community that are willing to stand against this is growing every day because unfortunately people are getting the worst way possible the consequence of the injections. So. That is a awakening progress process, and yes, I have a lot of support, but I also have a lot of of people trying to ridicularize me, and I am okay with that. I have no problem with that. It's part of the
part of the job. The
process. Yeah.
I understand that, especially obviously, I'm not in your kind of position, but you know, being in front of the camera, you're always going to put yourself in a position where you're going to get ridiculed. At the end of the day, you're married, you have kids.
Yeah.
You know, the parents see you later at the kindergarten and they look at you like you're a little bit crazy, you know. So, yes, we eat a lot of shit for this. Yeah. I want to ask you a very difficult question, but the only reason I'm asking it now is because I don't want to forget later, because I think we're going to get into a lot of things here. And I want you to feel free not to answer this question, because it's actually a pretty dangerous question to answer, because it might put you in a position that's a little bit in a predicament. When I asked you, do you think that this process could be resolved through the courts? And you said, no, that scares me, you know, because as a judge, as a person of law, who knows the law, understands that this is not going to be, you know, handled through the law. I the only thing that I could imagine, would that mean that at some point in the future, we would need some sort of a coup, some sort of a coup with the army, with the police, you know, the police understanding that they're doing something wrong, the army understanding that if this continues, this is just, you know, it might take them a long time to wake up, but maybe at some point, do you think a coup is the only way? And feel free not to answer this. This might be just a rhetorical question. Do you think a coup is the only answer?
I don't know. Right now, I don't know what the answer could be. Of course, all the scenarios cross my mind, and that's one of them. It's something that it's something that will never happen very soon, because we are still yet to suffer what the real deal of this of what we are living. And
yes, sir.
But it's natural thing. It's natural course of things. If nothing else works, in the end, that's one possibility. Of course, I don't have anything to do with that, but it's how things work in societies.
You're wearing a shirt that says habeas corpus. Can you explain to the audience what that means?
Habeas corpus is a legal measure to release you from unlawful arrest that we have in Portugal. It's in the criminal procedure code, and it's how somehow I started with this, telling people that if the government puts you in the mandatory confinement, you have the right to go before a judge to ask him to set you free because it's unlawful. And it started with that, and I posted some templates for people to use without the need of a lawyer to do that. And they were kind of quite successful. And it's now the name of the association that we are starting to keep our work of helping people out in the context of the pandemic and against, it's not the pandemic only, at least in Portugal. Portugal is run by a deeply corrupt and pedophile government. And this will not, it's, everything is rotten. It's, this is only the tip of the iceberg.
Wow.
I'm
wearing a shirt that's, it's in Hebrew, but it's the fundamental human rights, that actually came out of the Nuremberg documents, which is incredible to me. I'm pretty young. I don't know how old you are. I'm
47.
47. So I'm 41, 42 years old. So, you know, obviously I wasn't there at the time, but I feel that it's very close to my heart, especially in the last year and a half. I don't think many of us, you know, living through this very, I would call it a free life. We had a free life for a while. You know what I mean? Like, YouTube and digital, and we could fly anywhere, and you could work a little bit and buy a car, and you know, all the applications to meet women. We completely forgot what it is to fight for your survival.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you know, about 10% of us, maybe 15, I won't even believe it's 20% of us, kind of automatically went back into that fight mode as soon as we felt that our fundamental human rights are being trampled on. Now this could be a couple of causes in my theory. It's either the fear factor was not caught on in our mentality, because anybody who fears anything could be talked into doing anything. So either that stopped us, or understanding how important these fundamental rights are kind of put us into focus and made us realize that we have to fight no matter what, even to the death. I think most of us would agree we have to fight to the death. Now, my question is to you, you know, right now the assault is so intelligent by these people. I don't want to put a name on them. I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to say I know who they are or whatever, but we can kind of imagine who they are. They are so intelligent in what they're doing, because what they're doing right now is that they're making people believe that these fundamental rights are actually egotistical, anarchism, and just pure ego. Like, all you care about is yourself. Yeah. And that's very intelligent, because some people might fall for it. You know, they're going to say, look, there's a disease running around, and you're not willing to take, to be a partner to trying to solve this issue, and you're being very egotistical. While anybody who understands the fundamental rights of a person, if I don't have a fundamental rights, that means my neighbor doesn't have fundamental rights. That means that everybody in the city doesn't have fundamental rights. That means that the whole country doesn't have fundamental rights. So instead of saying thank you to people like us, fighting for fundamental rights so the whole society could have fundamental rights, they're actually kicking us in the ass and telling us that we're being selfish. How do you think we can combat something like this?
Well, that's a good point, because we are facing an idea, definition of common goods that is imposed, that is against everything that we had before. Common good in our societies, at least in Western societies, is something that only has some value if the individual is okay, is not being punished for the common good that is authoritarian and
socialist idea.
Yeah. So from one day to the other, we were being imposed. We started being imposed a common good that is going against our freedom as individuals. And when I say our freedom, I say our families, our kids, everybody else, for a common good that we still don't know what it is. Right now, I'm not going further. I'm not. We don't need to go much deep in this to say that right now there's a common good for some people that are profiting,
of course,
with this, exactly. Not to anyone else. So that's a good point, because it's something that was imposed. We didn't vote for this common good. We didn't vote. No one was asking us, oh, right now let's start to have this common good that is, you are going to be all your freedom is going to be taken. Everything is going to be taken from you, but everybody is going to be fine in the end, but everybody is going to be suffering individually.
100%, 100%. And you know, it's funny because it's like people actually think that if you can take away an individual rights, a society could have rights. Like how could a whole society have rights if the individual doesn't have any rights? Yeah. And that kind of screws up with my mind, but they're doing an amazing job. So let's jump into the idea of, you know, at what point, this is, I think, very interesting. At what point did you realize that shit is going horribly wrong? And I do want to get back to that, you know, that comment that you said about pedophiles, because it's very important. But I want to know, in terms of your personal individual realization, you know, January 23rd, Wuhan gets locked down with 11 million people. January 24th, all of Hubei gets locked down with 53 million people. You know, by February, it reaches Italy, and then so on and so forth. Yeah. At what point did you realize that this is not about a pandemic? This is not about our health. This is about control and tyranny.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have to confess that I used to be a bit numb for some problems that I am right now. I am more awake, and for I had my career as a criminal lawyer. I had my things to be worried with, my concerns, my family, my stuff, my things. It was life as life before it was like that, and I didn't know. I was completely clueless about a lot of things that I ended up to find out. And so when that started, actually, it's funny that I was living in Nuremberg.
But you were living in Nuremberg at the time. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I was back and forth to Portugal because my wife is German, and she was working in Adidas. Adidas as the headquarters in Nuremberg. So we were living there, and I was back and forth to Portugal because my cases were in Portugal here. I remember checking sometimes Facebook and seeing something in China was happening, and okay, whatever. And I was in Portugal just before the first lockdown in March. I was having some drinks at night with some friends, and I remember that I went back to Germany, and lockdown started in Portugal. And in that time, I was not giving much of importance to this. And then I remember that it was with Italy first, and then Spain, that I started, well, this is kind of serious. I started to disinfect my groceries.
Me too.
In March. Me too. I have to confess that. Right now, I feel a bit stupid.
Me too.
I started to disinfect my groceries, and I was walking in the street. I was going around a bit. People that were crossing me, I was crossing. So, and then we started using the masks. But and I kept with that. We kept with that. Me and my wife, my children are in Brazil actually, so we were alone in Germany, and we kept with that for around until May. And during May, I was already, well, this is a deadly pandemic, but no one died. My neighbors are the same. The homeless people are the same. Oh, and the people in supermarkets are
never
touching change and money. And I don't see them with some special concerns about cleaning. And I kept flying to Portugal back and forth Germany, and I was in the airport terminals, Charles de Gaulle, Frankfurt, sometimes also in Amsterdam. And I was in a plane. Who flies knows if there was a deadly pandemic, I should have died. in that period because it's impossible inside of a plane in economic or it's impossible. So I started questioning then, and close to summer, I was thinking already, well, we are facing a really, not a deadly pandemic, but a deadly incompetence from the government. So the government is so incompetent that, it's messing with everything, with the economy. And so I think we will not have any lockdown again, because Portugal economy will not survive. And then in October, we had again another lockdown. And well, this is not only incompetence. There is something else here. And it was when I started really questioning what was going on. And it was like that. It was a process. And then I started investigating and I started searching. And well, I was listening to some people. I went to Portugal for a first protest in October. I arrived there, I met some people, I heard some ideas, and I was like, this guy is crazy, this guy is also crazy, that guy is even more crazy. And then I am also crazy. And it was a process.
Of course.
But
of course.
I am not watching TV since 2017, around there. So I think it helps that you don't watch TV, because TV is
poison.
Yeah.
I think it's 47 is a pretty late age to come to the realization that, you know, to be able to conceptualize what's happening in the last year and a half, you need to understand that everything is corrupt, that everything is broken, that everything is a lie. And that is a very, seeing you still staying very gentlemanlike and normal in your speech, that's you've got some mental strength, because I've seen a lot of people fall apart for a while before they can bring themselves back together and understand how they're going to live their life knowing what they know. Even if they don't know a lot, but they know that everything they thought they knew was fit, you know, was completely wrong. So that's amazing. I went through something similar a little bit faster, but I would call myself, quote unquote, somebody would call me a conspiracy theorist, since 2001. But when I was around 30 years old, I kind of let everything go. I became a father at 35. I never talked about conspiracies, you know, like, the elite families. I never talked about anything anymore. You know, I didn't want to, it didn't do any good for my life. So I let it go.
Yeah.
And when this pandemic came, you know, I'm a father that worries about his daughter and about his wife, not thinking right away that this is some huge game that they're playing with us. And yeah, I was also disinfecting, you know, wearing a mask, all that stuff that I feel very stupid about, but you know what, that helps me be empathetic to people who are still asleep. You know, I can imagine what they're imagining. So I'm very, I have a lot of patience for them. I'm not judgmental. So I'm going to guess, and maybe you can build on top of that. So I'm guessing that your lawsuit that you're bringing forward has to do with so your evidence is the PCR test, is the fact that it would be the PCR test, the fact that there's no excess deaths to warrant any behavior that they're doing right now. And probably the fact that there are medications that they're not allowing people to take.
So
maybe you can expand on that.
First of all, I try to debunk the idea of a deadly pandemic. So I analyzed the numbers in Portugal. We are told that we had 17,000 to 18,000 deaths so far since 2020.
And your population is, how much is your population?
10 million.
So very close to Israel, okay.
So yes, for to debunk those numbers, I'm using the PCR tests that they produce lots of false positives, and also lots of people died from normal influenza, from cancer, from heart diseases, from being run by a car, being stabbed, being shot, falling from a building, burning in a fire. But if they went to the hospital and they run on their PCR test and it's positive, they are dying. They are a COVID
test.
So it's how they fabricated, and the government forbidden the autopsies. Right. So it's how they fabricated the deadly pandemic in Portugal, and how they justified all the measurements, the close of economy.
Right.
And then it came the so-called vaccines. I don't like to call them vaccines, but with the condition the economy is going to open, in condition that you are going to take this. It's very important that you take this, because it's for the common good. It is an act of generosity to the others, that you are taking this experimental drug, even if there is another drug that is very good and is effective, like ivermectin, but we are hiding this. We have this for you. This is for you. For you to open the economy, you have this. The others that are here, that not experimental, they are
Nobel Peace Prize it has, you know.
Yeah.
Very safe, given over 4 billion doses.
Of course, exactly. So it's that. It's the main point is the substance that they are injecting in people, that in my view, I am not a scientist, but I believe that this is going to be tragic, the consequence on the menu and long term, the consequence for those of those injections are going to be tragic, are going to be deadly. And in on the level of infertility, we are going to face a very serious problem in Portugal. They say that we have 85% of people injected, and also children, so to 12 to 18. So I don't know if Portuguese population is going to last in the future, is going to. So that's those substances, those injections are the main subject of the law case, the criminal law case. But of course, I had to analyze everything around them.
So I would presume, you know, in a case like this, and I'm thinking about movies, because obviously I've never really been to court too many times, but I'm imagining that you're going to have some serious, you know, scientists, doctors, immunologists, maybe virologists to back up your statements, right? So do you already have people reaching out to you, giving you inside information, giving you information about this vaccine, the dangers that it has? Do you have doctors that are, maybe you're not allowed to say, I don't know, because you're in a court case, but do you have doctors telling you from the inside of the hospitals how many people are getting, you know, some serious side effects, if not death and stuff like
yes,
that?
Yes, we are getting information more and more. Sometimes it's difficult to process everything. It's a lot of emails and the messages. But this lawsuit, this criminal lawsuit, actually is to, what I did is to, I present the proofs for the state to start investigating, to start the investigation. And they have also now to work on that. It's a very, that's why I cannot be naive. I know that is the state investigating the states. So it's something that I have to work every day. I think I just said that before. But they are forced to bring everybody that has something to tell about this to stand to talk to witness.
They'll have to be on trial. So you'll be able to cross-examine them, ask them very hard questions, put them on the spot. Very good. Are you if you don't mind, I just want to jump to a personal question because again, I don't get a lot of chances to speak to somebody in your position. It's a personal question. Your wife, your family, are they supportive of what you're doing? Are they scared? Are they, do you think this is something that can maybe put you into a position of you know, maybe in danger or?
Yes, my wife is with me all the time. She supports me 100%. She had a slow awakening process, a slower. It was a bit more painful to her how she started realizing what was going on. Yes, my father, my uncles, my brother, they are a bit worried with me, but they support me. Even so, unfortunately, some of them are already injected,
Injected.
but they support me. They believe in me also. And my kids are in Brazil. I have three kids in Brazil. And I talk to them every day, and they believe or not, they are not into this, but they believe or not, I'm saying that they should not, they cannot be injected. And my main concern is with them, actually.
Of course,
It's
of
not
course,
even with me.
of course.
I'm doing this for them, and it's like this.
So maybe we can touch a little bit upon on that because that's interesting. So first of all, I'm guessing that your name is Brazilian, maybe. You are from Brazil. Is that
No,
your, that's not your home
actually.
country?
No. I born
Okay.
in Angola
In
when it
Angola.
was a Portuguese colony,
Wow.
but I was raised in
So just for
Portugal.
the audience, Angola is in Africa, just for the for the audience to know.
Exactly.
So you said something that's very true because I feel the same way. It's, you know, we're doing this for our kids. For us, it's already, you know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't, and their whole plan, whatever plan it is, and whatever it is that they're doing, the objection is the kids, right? To normalize this type of living, to normalize whether it's masks, basically to be obedient. This is a normalization of being obedient, normalization
To be
of
praised.
yes, and no truths. Like it's as if there's no truths anymore. There's no evidence. There's no facts. I feel as if facts are being changed, you know, every day. You know, what was fact yesterday is not fact today, and
Everything is erased.
everything it, literally 1984 Orwellian, you know, if you read the book or if you've seen the movie. So very very Orwellian, very 1984-esque. So obviously you're going through this very intense time in your life. You're taking on this massive, let's call it a battle. We won't call it a war. The war is the, you know, the whole world is going through the war. You're going through a battle. And you're obviously taking a lot of hits. You're taking hits on your name. You're taking hits on your career. Your family's going through whatever your family is going, seeing you on the news or seeing you fight something that, you know, maybe some people would have guessed, you know, this guy's, he was a judge, he was a lawyer. Why is he being a conspiracy theorist now? You know, how is this happening? So I want to ask you, how long do you think if there's a result, whether you're right or you're wrong in court, how long do you think this could take?
Several years.
Several years. Do you think we have several years? You don't think we have several years. When you said you have 85% of your country vaccinated, is that over the age of 30, or is that literally from 12 to to
what they say is what they say is from 12.
From 12, 85%. 85%.
It's what they say, but I think I believe they are not
telling the truth.
They are not telling the truth because, for instance, they say that 100% of people over 65 years old are vaccinated. 100%. Wow. So okay. I know a lot of people over that age that are not vaccinated.
So. Okay, so that's.
But yeah. We have to. Everything is a lie. We cannot believe in anything that they say.
100%. Are they also pushing the idea that all the hospitalizations are people who are unvaccinated in Portugal?
They are trying to push that narrative, but actually it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Most of them are vaccinated.
Right. Same here.
Most of the ones that are dying are vaccinated.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Even though they're pushing very much to for people to believe that it's the other way around. We're going through a massive brainwashing and change of the narrative. There's no truths anymore. And Israel, you probably know, is first country that received the vaccines, first country that vaccinated pregnant women, first country that vaccinated kids, and first country that introduced a green passport. Israel is probably one of the least uprising countries. You know, you see a lot of uprising in Australia, you see uprising in Germany, you see uprising in England, you see uprising in Ireland, you see Israel. We're trying to, you know, we're trying to put protests together. We're getting, you know, 4,000 people, 5,000, real shame. Very sad, very hard to.
In Portugal, it has been a bit like that also.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Scares me. I'm not sure protests are what's going to help, but I think protests do cause people to wake up a little bit.
Yeah. I think you have had more very tough measurements than here in Portugal. It would guess that people would start reacting. But in Portugal, we are not having a huge uprising in a way of protesting, a peaceful protests. In Australia, I think they were confined for a long period.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And for nothing, yeah? 5 people sick, 10 people sick, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to ask you probably one last question. I don't want to keep you. And I think we had a great conversation. And then I want to give you the last, you know, whatever time you want to kind of say whatever it is that you want to the audience. But I want to ask you something as somebody who knows the law and as somebody who was a judge and as somebody who, you know, maybe if you didn't wake up, you know, maybe you would have had to seen someone like me in your courthouse. You know, let's just say you never woke up. Yeah. You were with the narrative. You were a judge. And now is sitting in front of you this little conspiracy theorist that didn't want to wear a mask, you know, because he feels that he has rights. Is civil disobedience, right? No violence, no coercions, civil disobedience. Is that something that can beat whatever it is that we're going through? If enough people disobey, it's not even a law. It's laws under emergency use. So it's. Do you think civil disobedience, is a way to go?
Let me just giving you an information that is important for what you just said. Even when I was believing in the pandemic, after March, I forgot that video. Actually, it's a friend of mine found it out. That I posted on Facebook. I was already telling that be careful, even with pandemic, we cannot be forced to stay at home, we cannot be forced to do this and that. We have our freedom cannot be taken just because we have a pandemic. But
great. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah. I was never in favor of... suppressing our civil rights, even believing in pandemic, but Answering your question, no, there is no other power than the power of the people if people unite around some values and principles, and that's unbeatable, and that's where they are being so successful, is to divide us.
Yes.
If we wanted, this would end immediately. That's unbeatable. Even with all the weapons and armies and everything, that's unbeatable. Of course, there are sacrifices to be made. And talking about myself, I'm willing to go to the end, to do whatever it takes. It's not enough if it is only one person here and there.
I totally agree. I think we have a very similar train of thought. You know, as two individuals, as I would call you a gentleman, you seem like a gentleman. For me, you know, it makes me wanna. I don't want to say cry, but like a little bit tear to meet another person. Who is a father, who is a husband, but is also was in the world of law and speaking with such respect to the values that are so important to me,
yeah.
Which is these fundamental rights that I can't believe, you know, every day I have to wake up and remind myself that they're actually trying to take it away from me, you know?
Yeah. Look, I am 47 years old. If I wanted, I could adapt to this. I could cheat here and there. I could go around. It would be easy. It would not be difficult for me to have kind of a normal life, even with all the measurements. But I don't want that for my kids.
Yeah, I could say the same. Listen, I was sick with COVID, so I have the green passport automatically. And I make funny videos of how I wipe my ass with it, you know, how I pick up dog shit, you know, with it. I burn it, you know, on the barbecue. I don't use it. I don't use it for anything. I need to get a surgery in my ear, and I'm not willing to get the surgery in my ear because they're asking for a green passport. And
yeah,
so I'm not even getting medical attention because this is ideologically inside me that I will not participate in this craziness. So I understand what you're saying.
That's amazing.
Thank you, sir. I you know, please take the time to, you know, say whatever it is that you want to say, because I had a great conversation. I don't know about you.
I really enjoyed it.
So take it away, you know. Wow. Anything that you want to say, what do you think that we should do as a people? Should we stay calm? Should we get violent? Should we, you know, whatever it is that you say.
Yeah. Well, what I think is that this is a process. We are escalating. This is even if I would want right now, people are not ready. If people are using the mask in the street, they are not ready to start disobeying more serious measurements. So unfortunately, this is a process, this is a suffering process, and this is also awakening process. And people that are awakening, they will understand that this fight is not for ourselves. This fight is for the future generations. And we are here. Our life is important, but it's a very short life. We have to be concerned with the future of the next generations. And because they are being convicted to a very dark time. And in the end, people have to see that I just said, the kids, the children are the main target, and there is a huge interest on using them in the future. So I would not say let's unite together right now, because that's impossible. But everybody that wakes, I hope that is willing to fight the fight that is ahead of us.
Strong words. And to try and leave it on a optimistic note, on a philosophical level, do you think that what is happening could actually have a positive effect? Because maybe society has become so rotten that this is actually its chance to get rid of all the infection of all this corruption and all this.
Yeah, this is actually the tip of the iceberg. This is only possible because society was wrong already before. This is not be possible probably 100 years ago or 200 years. I don't know. I cannot tell for sure. But what I see is that our society is turn out to be extremely materialistic without any values. And I can talk for myself. It was also awakening process that I start realizing that lots of things in life were wrong. Society was structured in a very wrong way, and that all we have in front of us, all we had in front of us was a lie. Everything was a lie. And that was actually good for me. It was actually good. And I don't know if I would want to go back to buy my numbness. I don't
so
know.
So then I'm numbness, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
probably. To ignorance, yeah. Go back to ignorance.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I prefer the red pill.
Yeah, thank you. And I think you have a red pill in your logo on your Habeas Corpus logo in your Telegram. I want to leave it at that. I think we had a great hour. I would like to invite you back. Would you come back one more time so we can
sure.
And we can talk about, you know, more off the subject of the courts, maybe kind of like, you know, how you would build a court system back to not being so corruptible. Maybe, you know, I really want to talk about, said something about pedophiles, which is a very, very touchy subject for a lot of people who are waking up, because they understand that this is a very big part of something that's going on. Not a lot of people know about it, but when they find out, they understand that it's huge. Please come back. Yeah. So we can talk.
It was great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Stay online. I'm going to say bye to everybody, and stay online, and we'll continue. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I hope you enjoyed that. I was very excited for this. Thank you.